of Martin to adjust his chair.
With help.
Construction.
For the record, I'd like to say we're starting this first day at about 1:40, a little bit late, and I'd like to try and start right on time in the future. That's one of the things we were going to go over, and we're going to work out some type of a system. I think Ron started last year where if you come in late, you don't get to speak for the first half of the meeting or something like that. So if you want to make amendments or discuss a bill, maybe you have to be here on time. I guess maybe we should introduce everybody for the record as well. For the attendance, we have some new folks on the Finance Committee, and we'll start off, I guess, with Representative Navarre, who is returning again. Representative Brown, who is on the committee again. Representative Kelly from Fairbanks, who is new to the legislature and to the Finance Committee. Welcome. Representative Terrio, who is on his second term in the legislature and on the Finance Committee. Representative Foster, who is the co-chair. Myself, Representative Hanley. Representative Mulder, first time on the Finance Committee, second term in the legislature. Our fossil, Representative Martin. I don't know how many years he served in the legislature or on the Finance Committee, a number of them. Yeah, I worked for Terry when I first started in the legislature, actually, as an aide. Representative Parnell, second term, second time on the Finance Committee. High school mate of mine, Representative Vic Coring. He and I played basketball together and went to high school together as a freshman in the legislature and on the Finance Committee. And our wit and wisdom, Representative Grusendorf, former speaker many times on the Finance Committee. Happy to have everybody here. Look forward to working with everybody. We a few things. The meeting won't take that long, actually. Just kind of wanted to get an organizational meeting together. We'll kind of start our normal process tomorrow. We're going to have hearings. Mike Greeny's going to introduce his staff, tell a little bit about what he does, go through the spending plan tomorrow. We will also have Chuck Logsdon tomorrow, who will give the revenue forecast, just so we get a little bit of a picture of what's going on. Next week, we will start with overview hearings by the departments. They're scheduled and have been posted. They'll be very brief, kind of introduce the new commissioners, the new legislative liaisons, and go through the departments generally, a little bit about what they do, and just some of the touch on some of the points of the departments. They are working through their amendments to the budget. They don't know exactly what they're going to be as far as the administration, but they will point out the automatic increases in some of the formula programs that are out there to give us a feel for what's going on in the department, and hopefully we'll get through all the departments next week. So that's a little bit of the how we'll progress here in the very near future. We do plan to normally start the meetings at 1:30. After next week, which we're meeting every day next week for the overview hearings, we will be meeting generally Monday, Wednesday, Friday, or as needed, but generally we'll be meeting at 1:30 on Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays at 1:30 to go through any needed legislation, and we'll, of course, keep you updated on that. For new members and actually old members, as we go through the process, when bills are heard, we do appreciate it for the committee secretary's sake, and they will give a little presentation about what they do, but we really appreciate if people would stay around to sign the committee reports so that they don't have to chase folks around as we go through the process. These are people that work for us. They do a great job. If you treat them nice, I think they'll bend over backwards to do things for us and for everyone else, and we do need to keep that in mind as we go through the process here. I talked to the co-chairman. We'd like to, unless people have any other ideas, we're going to operate under the same type of rules that we have in the past. A quorum is 6. For any final action on a bill, if you're going to pass a bill out of committee, it takes 6 votes to get that bill passed out of committee. Amendments, the rule was before you could actually pass an amendment with 5 votes, but the final action on the bill would take 6 to pass it out. So I, unless there's any objections, would intend to operate under the same rules that I believe at least the last 2 years, and I'm not sure, Representative Navarre, I think that's what you used when you were the co-chair before that. So we pretty much plan to do the use the same things. There are a couple things, and I think we're going to hand out the scheduling of bills before the committees. There's a memo that we sent out to everybody, and I guess we'll pass that out. We sent out a memo from the two co-chairs on, we would like a written request. This is not just for members of this committee, but for everyone, to my office. If you want a bill scheduled in the committee, we'd appreciate a written request from the sponsor. And this memo lists some of the things that we would like to have included in that, along with that memo, so that we can schedule it. You'll note here, we will attempt to, whenever we can have, we'll put bill packets together and backup information in as soon as we can get it, but we will really try and set 3 o'clock the day before the meeting as the time for trying to put the backup material in the files for everyone. The committee secretaries will go through where the files are for those of you that are new that don't know, but of course we can't always guarantee it, but we're going to strive for that so everybody has adequate chance to pick up backup material and look at it and prepare for the next day's hearings. We are requesting, if possible, that on the first hearing that a bill's prime sponsor actually come and testify. We know there's exceptions. People can't do that. But if possible, we would like the prime sponsor of bills to be the first person to testify on their particular legislation. And if you have any questions, you can ask the committee secretaries or Michelle and my staff. Michelle Tui, is she here, actually? She can wave her hand. We'll be doing a lot of the bill work on my staff, so if you have questions or concerns and can't reach me, feel free to call her. We're going to go through that in just a minute. Also, did we hand out the, go ahead and pass out the notice rules? This is something that always comes up, so I thought we've got a legal opinion. There is a 5-day rule, a previous Thursday rule, and then there are legislative ethics rules that are being adopted. They haven't actually been adopted yet, but for previously heard bills, and I think we are going to proceed as if they were adopted. If they get changed, of course, we'll decide on that. There's a memo that's being handed out from Tam Cook. The previous Thursday rule basically means that any meeting, whether it's a subject or a bill for the following week, has to be noticed into the clerk by, I believe it's 4 o'clock or 5 o'clock on Thursday for the following week, so that information will be available as to the subjects of the meetings. There is also in the Uniform Rules a 5-day rule, which means that you have to give notice of bills 5 days before they're heard. The Thursday rule suffices for that, except if there's a hearing on Monday for a bill. The 5-day rule applies only to bills of their first hearing in the legislature, actually. And so if we happen to get a first referral to the Finance Committee, which we actually do have already, a couple of things that have come here first, then we would have a 5-day requirement for a notice. If we wanted to hear that bill on Monday, we would actually have to get it into the clerk's, the notice into the clerk's office on Wednesday. Otherwise, the normal Thursday rule would suffice for every meeting after that. So that's just for people. On bills previously heard, this is a subject that came up before. The open meeting guidelines are suggesting that 24-hour supplemental notice be required so that, and we will plan to follow that. In other words, if we have a hearing on a bill today, then we want to carry it over till tomorrow. We would need to get that notice right down so 24 hours later. It hasn't been decided whether the 24-hour notice is actually a by-minute, and this needs to be discussed with people. Is it 24 hours? Sometimes those type of rules have been interpreted as the previous day rule, but we will, as the Ethics Committee adopts these guidelines, we will follow those, whatever they are. So the intent is to give 24 hours notice before you bring the bill back up for a hearing again. So, and we intend to follow that. Did you have a question, Representative Brown? Or?
I was just thinking about how the preceding Thursday notice requirement applied to subcommittees would work. Because the use of subcommittees that we've made in the past to work out problems on a bill or to take the committee discussion and go reformulate something like that, it seems like it would be very difficult. Is that what the new proposal is?
I haven't looked at it. If you look at the back of the memo, there is a parenthesis there, and it appears, according to Tam Cook, And we don't need to get in a huge discussion about all this. This is going to go on in the, as we adopt that those rules. It appears that if we want to have, let's say we had a hearing today on a bill and we wanted to hear it again tomorrow, as long as we gave 24 hours notice, we could hear it 24 hours after that, after 10 to 2 tomorrow, we could do that. If you send it to a subcommittee, you might have, according to the way it's written now, you probably have to meet the previous Thursday rule, which means you couldn't hear that bill till next week. So it appears, the way it's somewhat written in the, according to Tam Cook, in the rules right now, that we have a bit of a glitch. You would think that if the bill's already been heard in the Finance Committee and we as a committee can deal with it, that the subcommittee would need to clearly adhere to the 24-hour rule, but that the previous Thursday rule might make it a bit of a problem. You could be in a situation where you hear a bill on Friday, send it to a subcommittee, you couldn't actually hear that bill the next week. You'd have to wait the following week for the Thursday. So that's something I think needs to be worked out within the open meetings guidelines that are being adopted. And if that is a glitch, I think we need to take care of that in that particular process. So, but that is something that's been brought up, and I don't know if it's been addressed.
Maybe we could just apply it to Representative Martin's bill.
Hey, been in the hot bush for 8-10 years already.
I'm sure. That's an extra week. Anyway, we do. We're going to work through this. We will abide by those rules, and if they're, hopefully, we will work through any glitches like that. I think the 24-hour notice is appropriate. I think that for a subcommittee to have to meet a Thursday rule when the committee actually wouldn't have to doesn't make a lot of sense. But
So, are you interpreting then the 24-hour rule to mean you're going to give 24 hours of the bill number, not just 24 hours of bills previously heard?
Correct. That's what the guidelines say. You can't just say bills previously heard. You need to at least give the title and the number of the bill so people have an idea. The subcommittees, many people have asked about, we're still working on. Representative Mackey we're working in the majority on trying to set up the subcommittees. We do intend to do pretty much the same as we had before. We have a separate subcommittee chaired by members of the majority, members on finance. And the minority, we're working in the majority to fill out our committees, and the minority has submitted their interest. We have guaranteed that at least two members of the minority will be on every subcommittee, and there may be some adjustments as well, and we're working through that process. I suspect by the middle of next week we should have probably all the subcommittees lined out and worked out, and we're continuing on that process. I just want to let everybody know that that is ongoing, and we should have some details, although I don't, until we get a little further down the road, when subcommittees will meet and start doing business, we haven't actually set that yet. So, as far as subcommittees on individual bills, the practice has been that the co-chairs will assign bills to subcommittees at times. We will be doing that again. I would anticipate using the practice in the past where a member may not chair a subcommittee of their own bill. In other words, if they have a bill of someone on the committee that goes to a subcommittee, they won't chair their own subcommittee. They may be on it and usually are because it's their bill, but they won't chair that subcommittee and tend to continue with that practice that's been going on in the past. At this point, I'd like to introduce Lou Ann, and she is going to go through a few things for us about what the committee staff, introduce the committee staff. We have a new one this year, and discuss a little bit about what they do and what they'd like to see. And like I said, we need to be as helpful for them because they do a lot of work for us. So, Luann?
This is Char Smith, and she and I are the committee secretaries, and we're responsible for documenting the committee meeting and also any committee actions. And we have Mike Robinson with us now. And Mike is the committee clerk, and he's responsible for maintaining the bill files and keeping the room clean and paging the meeting. So if you need anything during the meeting, just give Mike a nod and he'll jump on and every member has two file drawers behind them with their name on it. When a bill comes into committee, we make a file for that bill and put it in the top And then once the bill has been heard and reported out, it's moved from the top drawer down to the bottom drawer. Okay, so the reported in bill is on the top, and any bill that's been reported out is on the bottom. Also, in the bottom drawer, we have placed the FY95 operating budget short forms. We don't have the proposed budget yet, but when we do, we'll also put those in the bottom of your drawer for you. We have the Alaska statutes, and we have the administrative code up there in the session halls in the committee room for you. It's real important that these stay in the committee room because we need to have access to them. So if your staff or anybody needs to check them out, just contact us so we can track them and know where they are. Also, everybody has a box in front of them with their name on it, and Mike will make sure that you have pens, pencils, paper, in that. If there's something else that you would like to have put in your box on a daily basis, just let us know and we'll see to that. Also, the boxes are stacked and placed on the shelves, usually over in that area, after each meeting, because we have a lot of subcommittee meetings in here. So it's kind of important that you try to keep it fairly cleaned out, or ask your staff once a week or every couple weeks to come out and clean your box for us so that they will stack. Sometimes during the closeout processes, they get so full, they tower over. Then the last thing I just passed out, Char and I maintain a listing of the bills in committee, and every Friday we update that and put it in your box. And I just wanted to briefly go over that for you so you can know it's there for your use. When the bill comes in, it's listed numerically. It's also on the left-hand side, we put the date that we physically received it in committee. And then when it's reported out, on the right-hand side, we put the date that it's reported out and the version of the bill that was reported out. When the bill goes into a subcommittee, if you're in a meeting and you want to know about a bill, whether it's in subcommittee, right under the bill title, we put the subcommittee, what the members are, and the date that it went into the subcommittee. The first member listed is the chair of the subcommittee. And I guess that's about it. We're here to help and make sure everything runs smoothly. So if you have any questions or want to know a vote count or need anything, just let us know.
Thanks, Luann. She did bring up the short forms. A lot of people have asked about that. We're working both with the governor's office and the Senate to try and Mike Greeney might talk about this later or tomorrow, but trying not to print everything if it's going to be changed a lot. And we're trying to work on the deadlines as far as when the governor's going to submit the amendment, so we work together on that, not create an incredible amount of paperwork that has to be redone and redistributed. So that's why many times you'll come here and those things are already stacked on the desk, like next year, I would assume, because we'll have had the same administration doing their budgets and we'll be able to load that stuff in. They are actually loading the information in, a lot of it, so that it can be produced fairly quickly. But we're in the process of negotiating with the governor and the Senate just to make sure that we get that stuff out. So that's why you don't see a lot of the detail work and things around here right now.
Question on that?
Yes.
So do we have available a comparison of what budget was approved for the current year, what Hickel proposed? That's what's not being provided to us, right? It seems like if we're not going to get that for a month, we're really handicapped in understanding what is in the budget. And, for example, during the overviews, it's helpful to be able to see that information.
Mike, you can talk, but we'll go through this a little bit tomorrow, too. We're trying to, it's kind of a combined approach. I guess there's going to be, I think, the summary books of each department. Are those going to be available here fairly quickly? We had talked about what, you know, trying to give you some of that information, the budget level that was passed, as well as some highlights of the increases and decreases or problem areas like that, so at least we get an overview. And at some point, we are going to have to make a decision to go ahead and print out all the information, and that's what we're going through right now. For everybody who's new, this is Mike Greeney, who's the head of Legislative Finance. And go ahead, Mike.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Brown, what we're attempting to do at this point, whether you call it the December 15th budget or the Hickel budget, Our understanding is that the Knowles administration is kind of using that as a waypoint to arrive at the Knowles budget, which they plan on having available somewhere around the middle of February for the Knowles budget. That December 15th submittal was to meet the statutory requirement where it says the governor shall submit a draft bill on the December 15th prior to session. And in order to stay within the law, that's what they did. What we're working on right now to try to keep the process moving, we're trying to identify that portion of the budget, which is probably less likely to change on the formula programs. In other words, those formula programs, the levels are pretty well throughout the statute. Putting together an analysis of the formula programs as they were included in the December 15th draft bill. We're trying to also identify some of the other items which typically occur in the front section, which may be less likely to change than the operating detail. And you can only speculate on what Governor Knowles may do with those pieces of the operating budget. When the Knowles budget is completed somewhere in the middle of February. One other point, a lot of the detail behind the December 15th budget simply does not exist, and by that I mean the numbers that appear in the appropriation bill were essentially summary numbers. They are not backed up by the so-called increments and decrements transfers. If you'll recall, for the last couple of years, that's been a task that has fallen upon our legislative finance staff. Is once the governor's budget has been formally submitted, then we work with OMB and the agencies to get our hands on the backup detail, and then we load them into our electronic computer system so that we can know what those detailed pieces of the budget are, and we can track it through our legislative process, keeping in mind that the governor's budget is the beginning point of the legislative process. In other words, we're going to be producing several different versions of a legislative budget during the next several months. We're going to be doing a House budget, we're going to be doing a Senate budget, and we're going to be doing a Conference Committee budget, and sometimes we do some other budgets too. I apologize for a lengthy answer.
Thanks. Did you have a point, Representative Martin?
Mr. Chairman, thank you on that particular point. I think it's almost come to a point where it would be a tremendous waste of time and effort in everybody's part, and especially paperwork, volumes, truckloads of paperwork, just to bring forth the report of the prior administration's December 15th budget when it wasn't detailed anyway. And when Governor Knowles made it very clear some time ago that they would need these time, I have a paper article saying February the 10th for the latest information from all the agencies, and then February the 20th for OMB to put it together. And that's one I'd like to use in comparison to the fiscal year 95. Whatever Governor Hickel did in his administration, I think, quit wasting time on it, because the governor's not going to follow it, and we're not going to follow it. And the major guideline is going to be what Governor Knowles has. And if they're going through the detailed forms, that's going to comparison, it seems more logical to do it with. I'd hate to see us as the agencies wasting a tremendous amount of money just zapping paper off.
We're going through that, and I guess that's the point. We're trying to balance needing information so we can do our job against giving the administration time to come up with some of their stuff, and that's what we're working on right now. At some point, if they said we're not going to have this stuff till the end of March, we're just going to go ahead and do our thing, print the stuff as was submitted by, and introduced today on the floor. But Representative Grusendorf?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. When we go through the budget overviews then with the various agencies, basically there'll be discussion. We will not be working off from anything?
They will come in with their we've asked them to give the highlights of their budgets, and largely we will, I guess, I don't know actually what we're going to have.
I mean, we're going to have the governor's submission available. And trying to see what's...
Sure, we're going to have the governor's submission available, and I think they're going to touch on the high points. Like I said, they were cautious about coming in and telling us what they're... They don't want to come in and say exactly what they're going to do because they don't know yet. And so it's, again, a bit of a problem. We wanted to go through, identify in Hess that, yes, AFDC payments through the formulas have increased or decreased and these types of things. And we will have those numbers available. The foundation formula, when the education commissioner comes up, will be able to tell us the anticipated growth in the formula there, the problems that we anticipate. So it's going to be a bit of a mix, I guess. We will have...
Chairman, in that case, I hope the overviews are very short.
We are intending them to be very short, as much to introduce the new commissioners and the staff that they have and touch on the high points of their budgets. So, if anybody has any suggestions, I do intend to sit down with everyone individually and talk, and I've talked to a number of people already about it, but what they would like to see done in the committee, I'm open to suggestions, how things should be run. If there's things that would make things flow easier or better, I'm open to that. And we'd like to sit down and talk to each person individually, and if they have comments or questions, I'm open to that and would be willing to incorporate them potentially into the way we do business. So keep that in mind, and I'll be setting up meetings here in the very near future with everyone. At this point, anything you want to say?
No, I have nothing to add.
Okay. Well, tomorrow we have, unless we have any comments or questions, tomorrow we're going to have the, you have a question?
Yeah, later. I'm going to go back, Mr. Chairman, to the 24-hour.
Yes.
I'm concerned because of the loyal opposition being what it should be, you know, keep us on our toes, that perhaps they help us work out a reasonable 24-hour requirement. You know, it's going to be very hard for a subcommittee, or in some cases a committee on a bill, to anticipate that tomorrow we may have to go over to an extra day or a third day. And therefore, do you stop everything until all the LIOs have notifications, all of it's been posted, and everything else? Or can we get creative? We said, well, we're going to give notice of 5 days hearing on this bill, although it might take one. That's just as misleading as going the other way. So somehow, it's a matter of helping the majority to do its work in a reasonable time and notify people, but at the same time, when you say we want a 24-hour rule, but every LIO must have the written information, they must be posted on doors, and so on and so forth, and that takes you 2 or 3 days just to do that.
Yeah, if I could just a second, then, Representative Nora, I talked to Tam Cook about this, and her interpretation is that whatever the notice is, once you hand it to the clerk, these are the things that they're supposed to do as far as distribution. The handing to the clerk is when the time starts. And if we need a time stamp on some of these things, if we're going to do it that way, that's why I brought it up, actually. There are some confusions, and I think some things as we go through our process that need to be addressed. And I think particularly the subcommittee previous Thursday rule is something that may be unworkable. But I wanted to bring it up so people are aware of it. I think the general intent is good, that you don't just, okay, we have a bill and we don't schedule it up for another meeting sometime, that we don't just say, okay, everybody's sitting here today, let's bring up these three bills. I think the 24-hour previous day notice is a good idea, and I think we intend to use that so that people do have adequate notice. So these are the things that if they do need to be worked out, we need to work them out as this thing. We're supposed to adopt, I believe, the rules as a legislature, and we'll have a chance to change them. And I do intend, believe me, to bring up this subcommittee because I don't think people have thought too much about it. So any other people that have comments on that, it's important. But the LIO things that you're reading were not interpreted by TAM anyway to be that we had to have all these things done before the 24 hours started. Representative Navarro.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, that though is one of the problems that we've seen in the past, and that is if we have a committee substitute that is distributed and the only people who have copies of it are the people who are sitting at this desk, that creates a problem for the public and for the committee because they're reading off a different version than we are. So the 24-hour notice and the prior Thursday are for the convenience and the notification of the public, and that's the whole purpose behind it. And so as much as possible, you get the early distribution, then it helps everybody.
Sure.
And I agree that the prior Thursday on subcommittees is a disaster. I think 24-hour notice is, on even on subcommittees, is probably difficult because if you have a bill up in committee and you're going to send it in a subcommittee that afternoon, it ought to be just an extension of the finance committee.
Rolling calendar.
And then if you're going to bring up the subcommittee report the next day and you notice that you say we're going to have it in subcommittee this afternoon and bring it up tomorrow, then that ought to be adequate.
No, I appreciate that. I think that, and that's what we're trying to work at, and I think we can get to what people think is a reasonable approach to getting the notice out there and not hamstring the process at the same time. And these things are just coming up, and that's one of the reasons we brought it up today, so people could see that. But I do think the approach and having something said, if we can work it out, because there hasn't been a, you know, there have been different interpretations, and people have run their committee meetings differently in the past, and some people haven't given any notice, and some have always tried to do what they can. And so if there's a set process, I think, that we can work out that makes sense for the whole legislature, I think that's appropriate. And that's what we're going to be going through here in the next couple weeks, I think, on those Open Meetings Act rules that we'll adopt for the legislature. Representative Brown.
Do you envision that the subcommittees are going to function while we're waiting for the governor's budgets?
Would you like them to?
I don't know. I just wonder what the plan is.
We're still developing it, I guess, is what I'd say. Because we haven't had them print all this stuff out, and as Representative Grusendorf pointed out, it's kind of hard to work on things. It's a little bit of reluctance on the part of the administration to come. If we can't get them to come in and give us any information, are we going to just go ahead and do it without any input from the administration? We're trying to work with the administration. So if we can set a guideline, and that's what we're working on now, that they can actually meet. There's parts of the budget that aren't going to change much, and if we can set up schedules so that they can feel comfortable talking about them and involving themselves in the subcommittee process, then we'd like to do that. And that's what we're working through right now. So I don't have a yes or no answer for you right now. Okay.
We're still in the wedding mode. No time.
Ontario.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, a little bit further down the road, do you have in mind a date, give or take a week or two, of when you think you would like to have subcommittees report back?
Report back?
To start putting together a full budget? I mean, or is it...
Or just, start meeting, you mean?
To actually start reporting stuff back. I mean, by the end of March, middle of March.
We haven't said that yet. I mean, until... It's real tough to do that until we find out when we're going to actually start our committee process. You've got to figure out a certain amount of time from then, and it can be compressed, but if we start a week from now... That's one thing. If we start 2.5 weeks from now or 3 weeks from now, it makes a difference. And we're going to work on that. I don't have a specific day right now. Any other questions? If not, we'll...
I'll ask another question. Are we going to work on our long-range problem in a formal way in the committee?
As a matter of fact, I would like to. We're going to work with the speaker. The commission... the bill on the long-range planning commission, just to be aware, is going to be noticed today. It will be in this committee for a hearing next Thursday. And it will not go out of the committee on Thursday. In fact, I think the speaker would like to have a teleconference on it, which will not be on Thursday. It may be on Saturday for the for a teleconference. We'll adequately notice that. But just be aware that long-range commission that's been introduced by both the speaker and the Senate president will get started next week. It will be in this committee, and a hearing will be held next Thursday. So,
and that's it?
Well,
that's what you envision our committee's input being on?
No, that's the first input that we will have is on the commission. I would anticipate we will spend some time on specific issues in this committee not necessarily even addressing particular bills on large issues, that formula program things that may need some discussion, so that we can get a better idea of how we need to get a handle on them or what we want to do, not even necessarily related to a particular bill that's out there. And long-range planning is one of those issues as well that I, you know, we've talked about it a lot, and I would like to put a lot of effort on. It's one of the things, a priority of mine. I know it is of most of the people here, and intend to use the Finance Committee to focus a lot on that, even beyond the commission once it gets passed, because I think there's a lot of things we need to do no matter what comes up with the with this commission. So we will be focusing on that. Are you going to take the picture, Representative Foster? It was his idea, actually. Representative
Yeah, Foster, we've got somebody here in the back. Yes, sir.
Decided, since everybody's smiling today and we're all happy,
I'd ask the chairman.
He wanted to take a picture of the Finance Committee before we got started. But with that, we're going to adjourn the meeting. If you could stay, you'd like to take a picture of everybody. Meeting adjourned.
What do you want us?
Everybody over here?
Any amendments?